Hey, what a wondrous way to celebrate resurrection through song. Thank you, Pastor Nick and worship and media team for helping us experience praise and worship and adoration of our risen Lord Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we left this place Thursday night, it was dark. Sun had set. We had observed the Lord's Supper. We had observed the Master's example. We had heard that commandment that He gave us to love one another. And then we went out into the dark as Jesus went out into the dark that night. The cross awaited. And this day, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But then, as Isaiah 53, we see in verse 11 a glimpse of light, a prophecy of life after death, of resurrection, out of anguish of his soul. He shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession, not made, and makes intercession for the transgressor. Today we pause our study of 1 Peter. It would be odd to go to a Tony Bennett concert and not hear, "I left my heart in San Francisco," or go to a Gold City concert and no midnight cry, go to Pavarotti and no Nessun Dorma. I got some class. I can pull out some stuff. So today, Resurrection Sunday, we got to go to the Gospels, and we find ourselves in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, I'm going to take us through the chapter with a theme from John's gospel, from the words of our Lord. We will overlay this theme onto John chapter 20. I'm going to present this message as a message like a play with four acts. No intermission, by the way. We'll go from one act to the next. We'll talk about whom the Son sets free. You see, Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We will look at the resurrection, the empty tomb, and a lady named Mary Magdalene. She's a most interesting figure in the Easter story. Act one is a prequel. Freedom lost. Freedom lost. On the first day, now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Who is this character, Mary of Magdala? Magdala was known as the ancient city. Migdal was a little fishing town. In fact, the name Magdala, Migdal, means fishing tower. It was right there, west of Capernaum, on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, right there at the foothills of Mount Arbel, that famous pass between those hills that Jesus would have walked from Nazareth. The Mediterranean Sea, just a little further away, and they would come from that western coast and make their way to the Sea of Galilee, and they would come right there to Magdala. And there, a little innocent girl was being raised by her fisherman daddy. Tough place to be raised for a little girl. A lot of boys there, I imagine. And they all wanted to be fishermen like their dad, but they had dreams too. They knew on the other side of that mountain was the great sea. Not far. The Mediterranean Sea. They wanted to be sailors. Not just fishermen on a little lake. And there she was, a little girl surrounded by all those boys. All those boys dreaming of being a sailor. Brandy, what a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But alas, my love and my lady is the sea. Mary Magdalene grew up in such a town. We don't know much about her. I'm somewhat allowing my sanctified imagination to take me there. We know that she's never married. We have no evidence that she was ever married. Perhaps she was a wealthy woman. There is some thought that she had some extravagant wealth, but never married. Perhaps many men touched her, but no man loved her. Perhaps some desired her, but never cared for her. And what we find is at some point, like everyone here in this auditorium and sanctuary, just as Isaiah has described, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the demons come. And freedom that God wants for you and God wants for me, that He created us to be, is lost. And sin takes over. And we're chained to desires we don't want to have. And Mary of Magdala experienced that. Freedom lost. In Mark's gospel, it says that she was possessed by seven demons. This same Mary there at the garden tomb of Jesus had experienced a life of utter demonic possession. There's not many to have ever experienced a life that she experienced. Sin had taken control. To the Hebrews, the number seven is important. It means completeness. It could very well be the scripture here is trying to say this lady was tormented to the very depths of her soul. Addicted. Lust. Envy. Strife. Pride. Depression. She experienced demonic activity in her life that she could not escape. Her mind filled with anguish. Now let me take a little side note about angels and demons. You know, the Bible says they're created by God, and yet there are a certain amount, perhaps one-third of all the created angels that followed that evil Lucifer when he rebelled against God, wanting to be God, being cast down to this earth, and a third of the angelic force rebelled against God, joined Lucifer's team as his demons. Remind yourself, we're talking about angelic beings who've rebelled against God, now demons. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that angels that obey Christ, those holy messengers from heaven, are sent down to serve and minister to God's people. You've heard of guardian angels. It could very well be God has given you guardian angels. Angels that minister. Remember when Jesus was at the wilderness after being tempted by Satan himself? The Bible says angels came and ministered to Jesus. Hebrews says that happens in your life. But note this. The devil's been trying to mimic God from day one. Since the fall, since he fell, since he rebelled, he's been trying to be a counterfeit God. And he mimics everything God does. And so he masquerades like an angel of light, but he's the demon of death. He's the demon of darkness. And what does he do? He sends his fallen angels, his demons out. Perhaps to certain people like you and me. Just like you may have a guardian angel, you may have a destructive demon that wants to take advantage of your failures. Look for an opening in your life when you're entertaining the flesh instead of the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life. And here we see an example of a lady that was possessed by seven demons. She didn't want this. Her daddy didn't raise her to be controlled by evil. And yet she was. But then she met Jesus. We don't know the event of how she met Jesus, but we do know this: what happened after she met Jesus. She never leaves the Master's side. Perhaps no one has ever loved Jesus any more than Mary of Magdala. She is seen in his hardest moments while the disciples have fled. She is there at the foot of the cross with his mother and a few other ladies. Mary of Magdala is there because she was set free by Jesus. He cast out those demons. They were gone, gone, gone. She was set free, and she couldn't help but love the one who saved her. And she's there. Freedom has been found, and she found it in Jesus. That little girl who had lost all hope, searching for love, found it in Jesus, and the demons were cast out. So there she has followed Jesus. She's learned at his feet. She's heard the word. She's watched him do miracles. And she's there at his darkest moment, dying for the sins of the world. Her Savior, her healer, her freedom giver, her way maker. And he's being tortured and crucified 6 hours on that cross, bleeding. And she heard and watched the soldiers as they gambled and played at the foot of the cross, wanting to see who would get his clothes. He had been stripped naked. She heard the Master pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then, as the sun was setting and the Sabbath was racing, she saw them thrust a spear into his side and heart. And she heard him say, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he died. Normally, the ladies would prepare the body. They would care for the body. They would wrap it gently. They would cover it in special perfumes and spices. But there was no time. No tomb had been arranged. No one could imagine a healer, a teacher, a rabbi, a miracle worker would die on the cross. But a secret follower named Joseph of the town Arimathea, he said, I have a nearby tomb. No one's ever used it. And right there where they had crucified him, nearby was a garden spot, the place where they had tombs. You know how we bring flowers to graves today? To try to remind us that this is not all there is. So they did then, gardens among the tombs. And they hastily, the men took his body down and took it and wrapped him in some linens and placed him there in that carved out tomb in the rocky side on a shelf. They laid the body and put a handkerchief around his head and on his face. And the soldiers say, get back. Pilate has told us to seal this tomb. They rolled a stone in front of it. They placed wax. They melted wax on that stone, and they put the Roman seal and said, no one is to come near this body. And soldiers were posted, Roman soldiers right there at the tomb. She was there to see him die, and she was there to see him buried. And that Friday night, before sundown, before the Sabbath, they left. I wonder what Mary Magdalene thought on that Saturday. Scripture has no record of what happened on Saturday. It's the Sabbath. You're supposed to rest. You can't even walk so many feet without it being considered work. Imagine the disciples, save John himself, the beloved, they all scattered. They weren't even at the cross. She was there. And now her healer is dead. The one who cast those demons out of her life is gone. They buried him. They rolled the stone in front of the tomb. This is over. And I wonder what she thought. I think I know what she thought. I think you know what she thought on that Saturday. Will the demons come back now that he's gone? Will I lose what Jesus gave me now that he's gone? Have you ever struggled like that? Something that you struggle with, you don't want it. You didn't ask for it. Oh yeah, you played a little too close to the fire, but you didn't want to be burned. You might have even known better, but you didn't understand this was going to happen. And now you're doing everything you know to do to undo and to somehow escape that demon. I've been there. We do know this in Act 3. Her freedom starts to falter. She comes to the grave early that morning. The sun's not even come up yet. She is among women who are going to prepare and do it right and honor the Lord. And somehow she can't imagine how it's going to happen. Maybe with the Roman soldiers' permission, maybe they will allow them to care for the body the way it should have been. She doesn't know, but she just cannot stay away. Sabbath is over. She can now come back and be with Jesus, even if it's just near his dead body. She just couldn't leave him. And she's the first one there. When she arrives, the stone has been rolled away. Now, how did this happen? And then the worst thoughts come to her mind. Your mind goes dark when you've been doubting. When you start doubting, boy, the darkness starts to come in. And her worst thought is they have stole the body. Oh my God, someone has stole the body. She goes to the edge and looks in. He's not there. She knows he's not there. Even in the little bit of light that's there, she knows something's wrong. This body, she goes and tells the disciples, John and Peter, come racing in, running to this garden tomb area. John looks, he arrives first, he doesn't go in to even touch a tomb. He looks in, the grave clothes are there, but the handkerchief is not where it's laid over to the side. Something there. I don't think there's a body. Peter doesn't stop. He just races right in. He catches up to John, goes in, and there's no body. Jesus is not here. These guys go racing out to tell the other disciples. They say, I can see a Peter nudging and clipping the shoulder of Mary Magdalene. She's turned around. She is weeping. She's there with them. She's back at the tomb, and she is just literally weeping. They run back, and she is paralyzed in dismay. What has happened? And what are we going to do? But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Her freedom is faltering. Doubts are bringing in darkness. And friend, if you're honest with yourself, you've been there. Some of you may actually still be there today, and that's why you came here today. You're just wondering, can I find it? Did I lose it? Can I have it? And Acts 4, the end of our play. Freedom forever. I don't go to a movie without a happy ending. I'm just going to tell you that. If that thing doesn't end good, I get my money back. I want my popcorn. I want my Coke money. I want the whole experience. It better have a happy ending. And my friend, I'm going to give you a happy, happy ending. You see, just as soon as she asked those angels, where have they taken him? She turns and she sees a figure. She supposes this man to be the gardener. He's arrived for the work day. The sun has come up. The Sabbath is over. And she turns and says to him, "Sir, have you taken the body? Has someone taken the body? Do you know where the body is?" This figure asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping? They've taken the body. Do you know where the body is? I won't tell anybody. If you were part of it, if you did something maybe you shouldn't have done, just tell me where they put the body of Jesus." Oh, and then it happened. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni, Rabboni, teacher." Jesus said, "Don't touch me yet. I got to go back to the Father." But now you've got something to do. Go tell the disciples. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Mary, you go tell them. Hallelujah. Her freedom, which she had never lost, turns out she discovered it was a forever freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus defeated death, and he defeated your demons. Never to be tormented again. Mary of Magdala is free. Free to love. Free to love the Lord. Free to enjoy his presence. Free to worship the Lord. Free to live in peace and love and self-control. Free. You've been set free. Oh, my friend, this moment in the story where she turned around, God is calling you to turn around. When I was a little boy, my dad had a name for me. I've never heard anyone called this name. No one in my family's ever called me this name. No one even knows. Only my father, and he would only call me this when it was just the name, Zika. I told you you never heard it. Zika. Get in the truck, son. We're going to the races. Every Friday night, my dad and I went to the car races. Man, I look forward to that. We get in that truck. He'd squall them tires. Off we go. Zika. Uncle Jimmy's coming. We're going to go camping, go fishing among those cypress stumps. Get your stuff. Man. You see, when I heard that name, I knew my father was calling me. The one who loved me. It was a very personal name. My daddy never used it if he was mad at me. If I was about to get, let's call it disciplined, he'd call me by my full name, Gregory Dean. But he reserved the name Zika when it was just me and him going to do something together. Can I ask you a question? Do you hear the Savior calling your name today? Calling you to turn away from your faltering faith. Calling you to remember what he's done for you that you can never lose. It was a gift from day one. You'll never lose it. But maybe sometimes, like me and like Mary Magdalene, life can get overwhelming and our faith begins to falter, our freedom begins to falter, and you just need to hear the Savior once again say, your name. Today, if you've never received that kind of life-transforming gift of forgiveness and faith, you will not find it anywhere else but Jesus. He will save you. He calls you to turn around and let him forgive and save your soul. Hear the Savior call your name. Dear Christian, if your faith has been faltering, today, I mean today, receive the restoration and start living the life of resurrection power in your life. Whom the Son sets free really is free. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come before you today asking you to move in our hearts, to do what only you can do, to proclaim who you are to us today in song. And if there's someone who needs to take a step of faith today, maybe it's a young person or an adult, maybe the oldest person here who needs to publicly take a step of faith and say, I've heard the Savior call my name and I'm responding in faith. I'm turning from my life of doubt, or maybe you've never received Christ and you're going to turn from your life of sin and that worldview that somehow you can be good enough on your own. You can't, and you know it. You're turning to Jesus. Be saved today. Would you step out from your pew? People will let you step out. Don't worry. They would love to step aside while they're singing, let you come out of the pew and come down here and say, I need Jesus, or I've received Christ. I'm ready to be baptized. Next Sunday is Baptism Sunday all over the world. We have people going to be baptized, or you have one going to be baptized this Sunday, the coming Sunday. How about you? Have you ever followed the Lord in a believer's baptism, obedient after you've been saved? You were. Maybe today is your day to take your stand. Somebody might need a church home. We would gladly receive you by like faith and baptism. Perhaps somebody today, just right where you're seated, said, man, I came into an auditorium, didn't have any idea what to expect. Oh, I knew there'd be a sermon. I knew there'd be some songs, but it turns out I heard Jesus call my name. Be blessed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand?